still the song. Says, that'll do. It's certainly good enough for this job, but it's a classic album or something. And right at the end, they basically make out that they've just had enough of recording it. And they go, Steve, sorry, hang on. Let's just keep the facts right. The metronome's off, the red light's on, Steve. We're on. Is it penultimate? We don't bother the FA Cup? Well, I don't know what we're doing.
Well, I'll tell you what we are doing. A podcast about no clean sheets, Steve. Welcome.
God, here we go. All dragged to our limits.
We're all dragged to our limits. I've got to say, Steve's looking almost more tired than I feel. I feel like, as always, this time of the season, Steve, at the end of the day, those players have been to Dubai, they've been pampered, they've been massaged. We've had none of that, have we, Steve? We've dragged ourselves through another ultimately disappointing season. In different ways, we've both been waved carrots of glory.
Oh, I haven't given up just yet.
Smashed underground. There's only one thing more desperate in life than relying on Tottenham Hotspur to do you a favour.
Is it relying on West Ham?
West Stratford United to do you a favour, because they are, God, they are bringers of doom and misery everywhere they go.
You know what, I've said it twice before, West Ham have salvaged my season on at least two occasions.
Have they?
With Lasagnagate, when they beat Spurs to allow us to overtake them on the final day and get into the Champions League.
That's right, Lasagnagate.
That was, what, 2006?
Yes.
And then, of course, in the mid-90s, it was them that held Man United to a 1-1 draw to make sure Blackburn won the league.
Yes. And was that them that did that? That then Blackburn, even though they didn't win,
in particular, yeah, because I think Blackburn lost to Liverpool, did they?
That's right.
The West Ham keeper put on a masterclass, made something like 15 saves,
kept them out. Wow! So you think they have got it in them? That, in a funny way, is true. If they managed to keep Man United, I mean, they've been away.
Well, those two
Man
examples.
United then, Man United then are very much like City now, aren't they? Boring. Bloody winning all the time.
I mean, those two examples is one helping Arsenal and two stopping a team from Manchester winning the league.
Yeah.
Now, they were, I think, both at home. They were at home on both those occasions. But, you know.
And we've got to now, as I said, I was up there. Bizarrely, I've been at their ground twice, nowhere near a football match, Man City's ground, I mean. And I told you they're quite entertaining. 93-20 features quite large all over their ground because, obviously, that Aguero goal.
Oh, of course, I assume that was the number of incidents that the Premier League were
looking well into the three figures, as we know. But I think what was interesting about it, of course, great, but that was basically a walk in the park at home against QPR, featuring the ever-charming Joey Barton, who, of course, got himself sent off almost immediately. And the fact is, they struggled to beat them.
Well, I've seen...
Because the pressure was on them, you know?
I've seen an interview with him since, Barton, because he's a lovely chap, isn't he?
Oh.
And...
Lovely bloke.
He points out that the second he knew he was getting sent off, his entire purpose came to try and get one of the City players to snap at him and get sent off with him. So he went around, I think he needs somebody in the leg or something, trying to get players to react.
He's a genius, isn't he? Tactical genius. So the brain behind that.
It's not normally the
nothing to do with the fact that he's a nasty it. Little thug from Bootle. Nothing to do with that at all. It's exactly what happened. Oh, really? He tried to pretend he was thinking of the bigger picture, as always.
And the problem is it's believable, isn't it? That kind of snidey little...
No, it isn't. It is believable with other people, perhaps, but with him it isn't. He's lost it. He's a nasty little thug, and that's what happened.
He just went, oh, I'm now going to start and pick a fight with everyone in the taxi queue, which I think he went on to do later that year, didn't he?
Well, Joey, if you're listening, feel free to give us a shout out.
I'm more than happy to explain a few home truths to you.
So we can draw some diagrams if you need images.
Yes, exactly. Apparently, you've got a good mate of Callum's.
So I hear.
I don't think I should say that. Poor Callum. Poor sue us.
I was also chatting with someone at Islington Boxing Club who
knows him.
Said they were recently chatting with Callum about...
He does do that. He's into his boxing, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, everyone knows everyone, so...
Well, still the funniest one was Professor Chris Hull bumping into you in the gym. But still, most surreal bumping. I'm not suggesting either of you don't always, when I see you walking towards me, both of you, I think, there's a pair of gym bunnies coming towards me.
Well, I can say I haven't seen him since, but that might be more my doing.
Neither of you been back. He's been, of course, he goes swimming now, Chris. Chris also corrected me on Monday. I know it quite hurt. Because you know I was rambling on about peers have become our most frequent guests. And then Chris said, I've only been on twice. I've only been on once. Didn't feel like I could tell him it felt like twice. But he said he's only been on once. Rich has definitely been on twice. Paul's definitely on twice. But yeah, maybe we should do that. Now, on that point as well, we should... We won't do it on like, yeah, because I think we'd be subjected to it earlier, but we should sort out a date for the last game, the last podcast, should I say. We don't know who the last games are. even the shambles that is the FA can organise the last games of the season. That's been sorted out. But anyway, first things first, Steve, how was your weekend?
Yeah, well, pretty. The sun's coming out a bit more often now, isn't it?
So yeah.
You know, everything feels a bit more walking in sandals. We went down to Portobello Road and immersed ourselves in unnecessary crowds and antiques.
Did you buy any entirely unnecessary tat?
Disguised as antiques, I think you'll find. Things that are at least 5 years old.
Did you buy anything you think that you came away with? Why have we bought this?
We splashed out on a teapot.
Did you need a teapot?
We did not.
No.
But it will no doubt become a gift for somebody.
Soon. Good.
But yeah, very chill. What about yourself?
Actually, we had a really, really unexpectedly nice weekend. We had a pleasant evening meal on Friday at the Gatehouse, which I think I bored you with before, with Daisy and Rufus, who cover themselves in shame. Don't have kids, Steve. They're ultimately disappointing, those kids. But on the flip side, we were a bit down on Saturday, and then suddenly thought, Lawrence, who I'm pretty sure mentioned in this podcast numerous occasions. He was Lawrence of Work is the Curse of the Drinking Classes journey. That was Sam, Lal and Kaz. They were away, but they've got this sort of arrangement with the owners of a lodge in Cookham. On the river, literally river frontage in Cookham, this sort of lodge it's a sort of bungalow. I don't know why they call it a lodge. There's a lot of wood involved, I think, as well. But anyway, they said, yeah, borrow it, because they were on holiday. So we went to this place. We've been there with them before, but Jem, me, and the two dogs. And it was just stunning weather. So we got there on sort of Saturday at about 2:00, and there's a pub called The Bounty. So we've made the huge, like almost borderline Spanish tourist mistake of thinking we'll walk along the riverbank to the garden of the Bounty pub and think that'll be nice. It's the second sunny day of the year, Steve. It was carnage. Drunks falling around on things. It was like Hogarth's Gin Lane, but now. And the queue, there was literally a queue 20 deep outside to get to the bar inside. You wouldn't be surprised to hear, I would quite happily join the queue. Thought, well, this is the only way I'm going to get a drink. Gemma sat on a table and watching the chaos around her, and then just said, why don't we just go home and have a drink on our private lawn overlooking the river? So we went, actually we didn't do that because we were starving hungry, so we went into Cookham, a very pleasant meal in a civilised pub garden that didn't have the frontage. Spent that evening slightly irritated because the next door neighbour decided to play, well actually it wasn't too bad to begin with, he played The Cure, but quite loudly as the sun went down, he wanted to hear the birds and see the bats. And perhaps, I don't think he disintegrated into things like Genesis and Led Zeppelin. No one, none of us need to hear that loud from our next door neighbour.
I am yet to believe there's any evening that ends on a high with Genesis.
Exactly, utter shit. Gemma was furious. And I was saying, well, I'm quite happy to turn it down, Gemma. She said, yeah, but they're not our neighbours. And somehow, Bruce, you're going to escalate the situation by asking politely to turn it down.
So you can't even go to a remote part of the country without trying to kick off?
I wasn't trying to kick off, Steve. I was trying to make Gemma's evening better. But it probably would have kicked off.
That feels like a line that you've rehearsed that normally ends with the words, Your Honour.
Yes. Yeah, it was not my fault, Your Honour. He threw his own stereo into the river. Said, listen to that, you dick.
However, your weekends do sound very...
It was really nice, actually. And then, actually, Sunday was, funny enough, better. And what's it... You know that... Where's it from? That watching people messing about on boats... and you sat down and watched it, and it was literally everything from people on paddleboards to crews of four very fit looking young people training first thing on Sunday morning to gin palaces going up and down with people
on the Prosecco, or probably actually champagne, at 11 o'clock in the morning. And you just watch them all going up and down. And Gemma and I both grew up near there, Taplow, which is near the river as well. And I was going, how come we never got into this messing about in the boats? The closest we ever got was me and my mates would jump into the river by the sounding arch in Maidenhead, which was basically taking your life in your hands, because it was never to be going to be, sooner or later, one of us was going to jump on a shopping trolley and become paralysed. So that was the closest we ever got to it. But, and once we did, though, that's not true. We once nicked a boat and at the same place, crossed the River Thames to gatecrash a Maidenhead Rowing Club party. The bouncers wouldn't let us in, but of course we just paddled across and snuck in from the back entrance. That's how we used to roll in the old days. The BRDF, as they were called, the Burnham Radical Dance Faction, were notorious for being able to get into parties that they weren't only not invited to, were explicitly not invited to, was actually what we were.
Well, of course, it's a much more dangerous feat these days because you can't go in any London water without the risk of...
Well, interesting. So last time we went, when Kaz and I were there last year, Kaz was a sort of swim... They both swim through the winter, actually. And so Kaz said, oh, swim over. I was swimming across, but I hadn't taken into account the current. So I was swimming across and realised I was going downriver, which does involve me walking back quite a long way in my trunks if I didn't direct it. So I started swimming upriver, but the current was quite strong, so I wasn't going very far. And I was still trying to get across the river. And then, as I was looking up, I could see one of the large pleasure boat coming towards me. So I had to abort the river crossing and come back again. And then after that, I heard exactly that. I think that Steve Bagshaw lives near there. And he did some testing of the water. He said, basically, it's just slightly dirtier than raw sewage, that part of the river.
Well, did you see they had the... was it last month when they had the boat race?
Yeah. And they weren't... Don't whatever you go in the water.
Yeah, don't have any open wounds. Don't...
Yeah.
That's pretty sad to slide down the times, isn't it?
Because I remember when we were kids, yeah, it was just nothing lived in the river. And then... But I vaguely remember gradually they'd say things like they'd seen a trout, all these sort of fish that need a certain amount of cleaning. I feel like we've gone backwards now. It seems like all this talk of the environment, but somehow the River Thames has got more dirty.
Well, there's a couple of decades between us.
Yeah.
So by the time I came along, it was pretty much shopping.
Wishful thinking for you.
By the time I came along, it was pretty much shopping trolleys and used condoms.
And see, that maybe I'm misremembering it. I'm sure there was talk of it being terrible, and then they were making steps. And what's happening now is, it is, yeah, just Thames Water pumping shite in there whenever they feel like it. So it's not, I think before it was diesel and farmers and all that, you know, just anybody chucking anything in. Now it is Geordie Thames Water doing it all the way. But yeah, it was lovely. And I did actually, having said all that, I did go for a dip, but stayed on our side of the river. It was so hot, wasn't it? I just couldn't resist going for a bit of a cool down. Upset Raffy, the Beddington puppy, he was very upset at me jumping in the water. I thought, well, he should be involved. Definitely wasn't going to happen. I've never seen Raffy again. But yeah, no, so it was really nice weekend. Disappointed to find out it wasn't a bank holiday weekend, wasn't it, Steve? I was quite used to them.
Every weekend's a bank holiday weekend.
For if you
don't work hard enough on Monday.
You do very little. I did do quite a lot on Monday, but don't test me on it. Yeah, so yeah, good. It was quite nice. And of course, the football was... Well, nothing really happened, did it? Apart from...
Well, your team are winning games now, which has got to be quite...
And coming back again, you know, I mean, I think Piers had a good point saying, yeah, we were winning because we hadn't let anyone score, therefore didn't fall apart. We did decide to let Nottingham Forest score, so we did fall apart, and they scored twice. But then very calmly scored another two goals in the last 10 minutes to win.
Well, you've managed to do this really interesting thing of... I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like... Certain pundits think you're some sort of lovable underdog, forgetting that you've spent £1 billion.
That would irritate you, Steve.
And now it's just
bunch
like,
of kids.
You know, Chelsea have come back and won.
Chompers for goalposts, those kids train with.
You know, shock horror, a squad that's bought 40,000 players knows how to win a game.
Well, it is a shock horror, though, because they've shown the whole season they've struggled with it. No, you're right, it is quite entertaining that they're becoming plucky underdogs on what's the net, 800 million, sorry. Pounds. But it is quite interesting that
some players, I mean, well, of course it was interesting. Players like James Rees come back. He's on for about 4 minutes and just makes passing
like
the ball straight to the straight to a head to score.
He looks like Rhys James.
Just like, it's so easy, isn't it? It's just sort of, it's, you sort of think, yeah, you miss players like that because they do make it look very easy. And him and Chilwell were both good at that. And of course, they play a handful of games all together between them.
Well, I do know a few Chelsea fans who have reached that stage where James has been injured so long, the idea of selling him in the summer seems very bearable. And they're kind of forgetting if he stays fully fit,
he's
much more influential. You know, at one point he was behind just Alexander-Arnold for that sort of... Obviously, Benjamin White has replaced both of them.
But I think you're right. I think you do forget, and then I don't know, because I don't pay enough attention to this sort of thing, what the injury is. Is it the same injury? Is it just bad luck and actually you'll be fine? But in my, you know, very little awareness of all these things, some players just, that is their problem. They are always prone to injuries, even if it's the same injury or different injuries. But he is genuinely world-class. Like, you talk about players that would not many would get into Arsenal or Man City's team. Fit, he'd get into most.
But you also run that risk of what we had with Van Persie, which is you kind of...
Held him back.
You kind of... guide him through injury after injury, season after season. He then goes to Man United, has a fully fit season and wins them the league.
I do
kind of, out of that reason alone, I quite like the idea of you selling James this summer. And then he just goes and stays fit.
We've talked about this, I'm almost bored of talking about it. We have to sell some people because we splurge so much money on other players, and I don't see how he could be in the list except if somebody did make a silly offer. But like you said, you'd just be sitting there, wouldn't you, thinking, but what if he then had a whole, he has four fit seasons, any team he plays for will probably then win something.
If
they're in the top,
realistically, the teams that could afford him have already got someone.
He goes abroad then,
and then that leaves abroad, which isn't impossible, but we'll see.
Forget he's pure, not just pure Chelsea, obviously his sister as well. Sort of thing, yeah. But I suppose he won't have a say in it. Well, a lot of these things. I don't think he'll agitate to leave. But if they say, "I'm afraid we can't keep you because we've copped up somebody, we left somebody alone with the spreadsheet and they didn't do their sums properly."
But you do have that thing of you're asking. The point in selling him is to get some proper money, and to ask a club to pay proper money for a player that may not stay fit. So I think by default he probably stays.
And also, what's he on? I don't know where he is in his contract. Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, if he's coming up for his last year, they probably will try and sell him. Unless, well, maybe not. Anyway, Arsenal. That Villa game.
Still got the faith. I feel like Declan Rice is on the phone as we speak, telling all his old teammates at West Ham that I'll get you a bottle of bubbly.
That's it, of course.
Isn't it all destined that the club that sells us Rice at the start of the season
wins in the league?
And I feel like I read somewhere that Antonio promised a performance if the title rested on it. So I just feel like, I think the window of opportunity is there.
Oh, so you think? Think he'll? I suppose in a funny way, you're right. Is the pressure's all on City? West Ham are playing for absolutely nothing except pride, and maybe a new contract or impressing the new manager. So in a way, it's all
also
in the head, isn't it? It's all in the mind.
I've had 48 hours of the tone all being based on the title's over. And I just feel the reason we all watch sport of any kind
never over till it's
is because something happened. Now, would I be shocked if West Ham drew and then Arsenal lost to Everton? No.
We see, Piers is obsessed as a double twist. So he messaged me. I didn't see it until after the game, but I think he did message me before the game that he'd worked it out, and his bet was 2-2 Tottenham Man City. You know, he said there'd be a twist. And then City would win anyway because they'd win on goal difference at the end.
And then, of course, by the time I'd seen that, Tottenham had already just given up and lost. But
he had got it at 19-1. 2-2 was 19-1. Now, you, like a flutter two, you'd say that's quite good odds, but also implies highly unlikely results if you get 19-1 on a football tour.
I think I called it a lot more accurately as within 5 minutes of watching that game. While I give Tottenham credit for playing a lot harder than I thought they would,
yeah.
I said to a few other friends in WhatsApp group that Son just looked like he was going to have a game where even if a big moment did arrive, didn't want to be there.
Really?
I don't know if he's ill, I don't know if he's bored, but he was just lambering around.
He does fade in and out a bit occasionally, doesn't he? I've noticed that with him. I remember we played them at Wembley, actually, and he basically pretty much gifted us the game. I think he gave away a penalty and missed a couple of sitters. And whilst he's a great player, actually, he does seem to, yeah, he has a slight nightmare occasionally, doesn't he?
You could just tell the way he was.
You thought he wasn't up for it?
No, there was no. When he's really on it, you know, the way he closes the ball down, yeah. There's high energy, he looks hungry.
Yeah.
Within 5 minutes, you could see he was missing a good couple of yards. And I, look, when he went through one-on-one with the keeper, I was like, even the game he's had, he could score this.
Yeah.
But I wasn't then shocked when you see the ball scurry away from goal.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch it. I saw the highlights.
But look, they played a lot better than Spurs, than I would have wanted Arsenal.
Well, they had something, because, of course, you know, we were here on Monday night when that was good as well. It was nice to watch Villa come back and Klopp pretend that he was pleased with 3-3, having been 3-1. That was such an arse. But that was fun. I enjoyed watching that. And of course, it kept the men. Tottenham could still go in the Champions League.
What I was really hoping for was they kept pointing out, had Klopp picked up one more yellow card,
yes,
he would have been banned from the touchline.
Yes.
Which I think deep down we all wanted, because it would have just been quite funny.
All wanted him off the sideline. Does that sort of three punches thing that celebration that he does. And it's the sooner he leaves, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Unbearable. It's a slight heartburn every time I see him on the screen. I'm quite anxious.
He does those fantastic celebrations that Carragher never seems to pick up on,
yeah,
despite then criticising Arsenal players for celebrating.
And managers for being excited. And there's Klopp, the demented stalk on the pitch, up and down the pitch, pumping his chest, doing his fist pumps. So whenever I see that fist pumping celebration, I always, you know, Steve, feel for the children. I always worry about them. But anyway, let's not even spend any more time on that. So Chelsea come good. Because of all the pandemonium of going out to Cookham, two things I noticed, which was quite a thing. I think if you listen back to last week's episode, Stephen, not that you will, but if you did, there's a bit where you're talking about bench boosts and when you play it, you and Piers. I went quiet, went, oh, when did I do my bench boost then? And then I checked. I haven't actually done my bench boost. It's still in my thing. So I saw that, I thought, and my wild card, I haven't got around to that either. So I thought I'd do all that on Saturday morning, and then it was pandemonium getting ready to go to Cookham. I missed the whole getting ready for the double. So I could have played last for the extra games. I could have had a bench boost and the perfect team for, like, I know what that is, but nothing. I didn't do any of it. And I'm pretty sure you've done well again, haven't you?
I have. I feel like I've put a silly amount of points on my bench.
Oh, really? I didn't look at it. Should they not still come back on? No.
No, they've all played. My keeper will come on, so I don't know what that does. 106, maybe 109 or something.
See, another 100 though.
Another 100.
I mean, I don't know what you're getting casual about it. 100 for you, Billy's back healers, 100.
I think I've got 24 points on my bench.
Who have you? Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It is almost like we're all a bit tired and just.
Yeah, you have got loads on the bench.
But you've still got Welbeck. You put Welbeck on to do something against Chelsea.
Actually, but I don't want to sound like I overthink this. Get all the highlights this week. I don't one of the, like, I ever think of. But I got Welbeck, one, because they obviously had the double game week.
Yeah.
But also they finished the season against Man United.
Oh, I see. And you feel that.
So you kind of feel like if there's any club that A is.
Deserves a shit. Well, shoeing.
Welbeck against his old club.
Yeah, you look like. So you're on 400. You're doing well. You're going to. I mean, I think it's safe to say Boobies. But Thomas the Frank Engine. Not doing that well, but he done the long yards, hadn't he?
Stay out of the I feel like I must have whittled his lead down to less than 100 points by now.
I think you had, actually. I'm looking at it now. Yeah. 104 is the difference at the moment. I don't know how much he's got still to be going. Oh, he's doing well. He did still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in to score. So he's the one. And, of course, did you see Thomas Frank's hot favourite for Man United?
Now the question is, who wants it? I mean, I get if you're a manager, you have to have that self-belief that you can do anything anywhere. And you're not going to get offered clubs with that kind of support week in, week out. So, you know, they've still got, what, 60-plus thousand each week.
Or so more, but, and I suppose the thing is, their expectation levels are pretty low now because they have been pretty dreadful. Yeah, the old Champions League, but what maybe he's. But the thing is, got a new part owner, and maybe he thinks he will exercise a bit of. You know, he's made money not from having.
Yeah, but Chelsea did that with Potter.
Yeah, but they didn't have a clue. They had no idea. Those Chelsea owners have no idea about anything to do with football. Whereas Ratcliffe knows about football.
Does he?
He understands it. Well, at least he understands. He knows it's called football. That's a help, I think. And I think he gets this. He understands. He'll understand the rules. He'll understand that, yeah, the genius of 8-year contract isn't genius if they don't work out. So I feel he'll bring a different perspective to it. You just think, you hope, based on I don't know what, but a very successful business person will apply more logic to it than somebody. I mean, I don't know what Boobie's background is, but, you know, Jim Ratcliffe's made money out of business, not just being a fund manager.
Anyone investing at that level of football has made money somewhere.
Yeah, but there's personal ways of making money. There's one, making money because your country's sitting on a mountain of oil. And there's another way, you've been quite shrewd in your business dealings. So whilst Roman made money out of oil, he didn't come from money. It wasn't a shake. He made it, and however dodgily he made it, he made it a lot of it and kept making very wise decisions. So Jim, I'm not suggesting Jim Ratcliffe's got the same backstory of making money as Roman Abramovich, but you know what I mean. Whereas Boody, I'm pretty sure would have gone to Harvard. You're going straight to fund management. They don't run businesses, those people. They play around with money. And it's not the same. You need to understand people. Business people need to understand people. And they sort of need to have a strategy longer term than, I'm going to make a quick deal.
Well, look, there's three.
I can't believe we're in this conversation. Yeah,
there's three massive advantages. One is that United, by default, can't keep getting it spectacularly wrong.
Well, that's it. There is a cycle to this. And they must be. What are they pushing now? How many years have they been shite? How long ago did Ferguson leave? I feel like it's 10 years.
Probably longer now, isn't it? Was it 2010-ish?
Was it really? So 14 years. And there is a cycle. I mean, like Arsenal.
I mean, look, I've just completely pulled a number out of the air.
But, you know, I think you'll find there's a cycle for these big teams, and upsetting though it is to say this, Arsenal are one of those where they'll have a run, then they'll. And it is 20-year cycles, you know, at least, and it's not unusual. So that fall, it will come back because they're not.
It was 2013.
So yeah, 11 years.
So 11 years.
Arsenal, what is it, 20 years, 21 years. The cycle, yeah, I'm not saying it's definitely 20 years because obviously Liverpool, it's been 34 years. Right? Anyone argue with us, Steve? So, but I think, therefore, especially Man United, they are the biggest team in the club in the country. You're right. You know, I kind of feel that it comes to go around sooner or later. Is Thomas Frank the person to do it? Is Jim Ratcliffe going to make that much difference?
Well, the
thing is, next season, it's going to be 2 or 3 seasons.
I mean, other advantages they have is Chelsea showing them definitely how not to do it.
One way not to do it. I think there's other ways not to do it.
Yeah, well, United found most of those. Look, Frank, it would be a shame, because I think much like Potter before he went to Chelsea, they're both managers that pre the wrong move I quite like. I quite like Frank. He seems quite honest. Has his moments. So if he goes to United, I mean, what are they now? There's maybe four good players, five at a push.
It'd be hard pushed.
So it's a real...
It's interesting. I mean, it's understandable. I'm struggling to say who you'd put from Chelsea into Arsenal. If I'm really honest, I'm quite struggling to think of anyone from Man United I'd put into Chelsea, given how shite we've been. That's genuine. I'm not just saying it for effect. Not that many of them I'd put in.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, give it another season or two, Hoyland is probably a better striker.
But apparently they're all saying, well, that was in the news as well, did you see that this week? They're saying a lot of them don't like to pass too much, they're not convinced by it. But you're also great.
I mean, he's not, but he's you can see something in him.
Yeah.
And obviously they've got Manu in the middle, who's that young midfielder that's coming and looks leaps and bounds ahead of the players around it.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to hear Rooney talking about he's not convinced that the injured players are quite as injured as they say they are.
I just don't fancy going out there.
The thing is, he says it himself, that he's seen it in his time.
Oh, really? Where he thought, himself, he thought, oh, I don't fancy it.
He didn't say himself, as far as I know, but he did kind of say that, you know, we've seen it in the game. You've got an FA Cup final coming up. Let's see how many of them are suddenly fit for that.
No, that's shocking, isn't it? I mean, do they really think like that? Maybe they do.
But what I would say is, if you... I mean, look, Rooney would know dressing rooms better than most, so it's certainly believable. But if you've got that when your manager is really drowning and struggling, you've got no respect for him.
Yeah, and that's quite one bit of, well, a bit of a few silver linings for Chelsea, but what's been quite nice, I think, actually, because there were, you know, it was not that long ago where you'd have put, you wouldn't have got very good odds of Poch staying at Chelsea. And you did feel that the players did play for him. They did try and get him out of trouble, because they did. You did feel that it was a sort of collective effort. They weren't going missing. They were trying. They might be shite, but they were trying. I have to think of how I'd be with a view of me playing football. He's shite, but he did seem to try disturbingly. You see what I mean? The Chelsea players, you never felt like they'd feign an injury. They were trying to play for him. They were putting a lot of effort in. Just didn't really seem to know what they were doing. Whereas now, it's funny, isn't it? It's confidence. It'll be interesting. Brighton tonight, because we win Brighton tonight and Bournemouth on Sunday. If Tottenham lose and Newcastle do have to drop a couple of points, if those two things happen, we realise we finish, bizarrely, we finish sixth.
What position do you get into the Vauxhall Conference? Sorry, what was it called? Now the Conference League.
Oh, we get into that one that we've already won. But you're right, we don't, as we said last week, and we want the new one so that we can say we've won everything.
Well, I'm also thinking there comes a point where a team's been so bad, having a season where you're just playing one game a week, even when you've got a squad as big as Chelsea. Maybe Chelsea's actually an exception because they've got so many players to try and keep sweet and happy.
We need lots of games.
You probably do need lots of games.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't think we need to worry about, because they're both going to leagues now next year. But actually, I've got that wrong. It isn't. If everything goes our way, we can end up fifth. We can overtake Tottenham are fifth, aren't they? We could overtake Tottenham and Newcastle. Yeah. We could end up fifth, which would be fairly bizarre given how bad we've been.
Well, there's a lot of talk, Arsenal included, that clubs are ready to try and poach one or two of Newcastle's better players. So I'd love to see them finish as low down as possible. Yeah.
But this is it, and I think they're in a similar trouble to Chelsea, where they can't spend money, even though they've obviously got lots of it. Because so they're actually, for some reason, applying the rules.
It's funny, these rules just don't seem to quite catch out City and PSG.
Exactly. But that's what they are introducing, that, aren't they? The dodgy contract world. The reason is because one of their family members has paid $4 billion for a seat.
So that's the going rate.
Whereas
right,
flip
Steve,
side,
can I interest you in another Coca-Cola?
Yeah, just a Coke is a...
Right, let me do that.
It's not a...
The sun's out.
Let me just quickly...
Okay, back... Trouble at the mill, Steve.
It's a busy week, isn't it?
It's a busy week.
It's a busy week.
I I've got a busy end to the week. Normally I'm quite good, but most of my work sort of Wednesday up to Wednesday, Thursday. A full day's companies tomorrow and Friday. Maybe mistake that, Steve. That's quite hard work. But have got last game of the season, Bournemouth.
Are you coming?
Definitely going. Had that fight already at home, Steve. And Gemma has got a point, because I always say, well, it's the last. There's always the last of something, like it's the last, you know, League Cup final, Wembley. Then, of course, as far as Gemma's concerned, I'm off to Wembley again 10 minutes later. It's the last game of the season. Gemma's, we've established, not very interested in football. But I said it's a thing, and it did occur to me, you know, in the past, you're the last game of the season. So come on, what's the best last game of the season you ever? I'll give you two. Ever been at, or one, the best one you were at the game, and the second one is you just watched it and it was the best game you ever saw. Could be on telly. But I'm guessing it's going to involve Arsenal.
Shock horror, the Anfield game is going to be.
Was that the last game of the season?
Yeah, because they had to win.
It's up for grabs now.
I mean, that's. But let's not go for the obvious.
Well, that's probably. Yeah. Were you? How old were you then?
I would have been just turning 10, so it wouldn't have
you
really.
Didn't quite realise.
The impact of what it was wasn't felt for years later. Bar seeing a lot of family members upset because they were just fake Scousers, because Liverpool were winning everything. So that's
nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're almost all fake Scousers.
But totally, that's my memory of 89. Yeah. Is seeing cousins and uncles really upset and throwing
enjoying
things
it.
Around. And that's what I enjoyed. The football was irrelevant.
Uncle Bert's lost the plot. That's great. That is good. Yes. Well, okay. So what did you really,
now,
at the moment, you thought, wow, I've got sort of, I cannot.
I mean, I've said it before, but it's an obvious one. Arsenal, 4-0 Everton to win the league.
And was that by, what, a point, 2 points, or what? How close was it?
Well, it was always quite comfortable. Not comfortable, comfortable, but it was just the manner.
It wasn't nerve-wracking.
It wasn't so much nerve-wracking, the atmosphere. It was a sunny, like, the sun was teeming.
Yeah.
And then, as I've said before, and we'll say on every other episode, given the chance, Steve Bould clipping the ball over midfield to Tony Adams to score with a left-foot volley.
And what? Well, that to win the league as well? No. Who was that again? Who was in the running for that game? Who was the other team that you were up against? Man United?
It was only ever Man United back then,
wasn't it? Yeah. And what was that? So that was the last game of the season? You had to win?
It was just get over the line.
Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't decided till the last game. A bit like this season. It's not decided, but you had to win.
You want to win it at home, you want to be in front of your crowd.
No, I get it. It just feels like, in a funny way, it's quite entertaining, isn't it? Because that's Man United and Liverpool you've taken it from. And actually, you sort of think, however dominant Man United have been, one of our ones was, it was quite early on, 2006, something like that. But it was going to it went to the last game, and we were at home until Wigan. I talked with Mitchell this last week. Quite tame to Wigan, and we did have to win to secure it. I don't think it was down to goal difference, but I think as long as we'd won it. But we won. It was something like 8-1 in the end. We beat Wigan. It was hysterical. The bloke next to me, when they started winning, we're going to win the league or something. We got really edgy, and we were 5-1 up. And I said, what sort of collapse are you expecting for us to not win it from 5-1, given it's Wigan? Nothing's going to change. But it was great. It was that sort of warm, like you say, sun shining, warm, tingly feeling. It was sort of hard to describe if you don't like football. But it's, you know, a whole season, ups and downs. And whilst, like you say, it's get over the line, Man United, it turns out, have had a few, haven't they? That where we think they just used to win it all the time. But there's the Aguero season. It was Man United against us where we won it 8-1. So they've got to the last game and it's gone. The Tony Adams volley. I do wonder.
But there's just this, I mean, in our case, I mean, look, it wasn't the last game of the season, it was the last...
Oh, wait, hang on, so you're just being creative.
I just, well, it's not creative.
You I wanna, said the last game, it's going to be the last game
last
of the season.
Where home
was
game.
Something...
You wanted to win it in front of your
own. So you
own
won
fans.
It, and it was the last game, okay, I'll let you off.
You know, the atmosphere of winning it in that sort of... You know, I think we may have, in the adrenaline of winning it, and I think having an FA Cup final around the corner, we might have lost our remaining league games, but that doesn't matter.
Who cares?
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It doesn't matter.
I mean, I mean, strangely, the Aguero thing, because of the commentary...
Yeah.
I mean, I was United was the ones... That, I think that game had finished first.
That's right. And they were waiting. Heading, they were, in
they
the
were
crowd.
Waiting, and they were kind of thinking the impossible...
Who was it happened. They were playing?
Sunderland?
It was. Yeah, were they at Sunderland?
And it was at Sunderland.
Because the Sunderland, because the reason they realised was the whole Sunderland crowd started cheering.
And of course, yeah, this. I mean, it would have been more... The thing that sometimes people forget is, you like with phones and things, you don't always get great reception in stadiums. So you've got, you still can go even to today and you've got someone listening to a radio or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking... That's now one that I watched in a funny way, actually. Similarly, it was quite early on. There was a few, I'm not including the FA Cup games, they in the old days and this season again, but they've been a bit wobbly recently. That was the last game of the season, and Chelsea have, a bit like Arsenal, have had their fair share of recent FA Cup wins, which are great. But I do our first league, winning the league for 50 years, of course, was famously away. I think that might be Everton or Blackburn or somewhere. But anyways, away, we won it away, and then the final game of the season, we'd won it. And that was hysterical, because I think we were playing Charlton. And I had a few mates, Charlton supporters, who gave their tickets up to Chelsea player supporters so they could be in the Charlton end for the Chelsea game. And it was superb, because, you know, that's... A 50-year wait, and not even a 50-year wait. It wasn't like 50 years will we come close. You know, little Nige, I remember little Nige getting all emotional and blubby in the 90s, going, when is my team going to win anything at all?
Because all we ever did,
the only thing we ever won was the sort of second, the Division 2, you know, champion, what is now Championship, because therefore got promoted. We never won anything. So that, winning the league that first time, and we were going to... I remember queuing up for the tickets. It's like a ridiculous time in the morning, because I didn't have a season ticket at the time. And this bloke in front, he said, this guy here was here the last time we won it. So he'd been there 50 years previously.
I was really pleased with myself, Steve. I said to him, glory hunter. It's good. It went down really well. Old man laughed.
But I think that, I'm trying to think of any better ones than those two. Because the last one, we knew we'd won it, and it was sunshine, and it was all party.
Well, I'll always have a soft spot for the whole lasagna gate, because when a club lives in your shadow, and they finally think, this is the moment where we're finally going to have something to laugh at you about.
Yeah.
We just need to beat West Ham, and then all your players get the shits.
It was super. And it is, actually, and it is bad, isn't it? It's wrong of us. Somebody did say this, I was bizarrely talking to somebody in Manchester this morning. She said, well, you're going to hate me then because my husband supports Arsenal. It's all went through the whole, well, actually, no, we don't. It's not the same thing for us. And then we started going talking about Tottenham and laughing and everything else. And she said, of course, yes, because you don't like... She's from up north. She has no idea about the minutiae of London rivalries. But it was funny because she was going, yes, you don't like Tottenham either. And, of course, our version of West Ham gate, and, of course, was my last game of that season, was, of course, 2012 in Munich. And I've said before, brilliantly, that meant that Tottenham didn't get to play in the Champions League even though they came fourth. Because we'd won the Champions League, we took their place in the Champions League.
Just add something, right?
I told you, didn't I? 5 minutes after we'd won the Champions League, the bloke next to me started a chant up about Harry, what's the score? Because he that's how bitter and twisted football sports are. In all the joy, he reminded about 100 people around him that meant Tottenham weren't in the Champions League. And the rest of us couldn't have cared less, but once he mentioned it, you're right, it was just ice, cherry on top of the icing.
Do you remember the going down the divisions? Do you remember that, what was his name, was it Jimmy Glass? Remember a goalkeeper Was that Alan?
What's
that
about? What happened to him?
I remember a goalkeeper scoring to save a team from relegation.
Yes, he ran up. Was it a header or something?
I can't remember. That must have been the last game of the season.
That does ring a bell. Yeah, you're right. Because there's this twin elements to it. And funnily enough, I do remember numerous last games of the season where we've got relegated. Yeah. But in a funny way, you never experienced it. There's almost a release of being relegated. Because, you know, it's a bit like what's the worst thing that could happen? And then it happens. And then it doesn't...
It's not that bad, actually. It's quite funny.
Because you're all in it together. It's worse if you're not in the ground. If you're in the ground, there's a kind of Dunkirk spirit about it all, with our team so shite, we've been relegated.
Do you want to deal with it?
No, I'm looking at the Jimmy Glass thing. I'm trying to...
So I think, actually, because you do remind me, but I've talked about it before, another one, bizarrely, one almost the fondest memories was that one and only time the playoffs were between First Division and Second Division, and we played Middlesbrough, and by them losing only 1-0 at Stamford Bridge, they got promoted, we got relegated, but it was a full-on riot. The police horses on the pitch... Aussie mate Michael suddenly thought a newfound respect for the Poms, because is this what every game's like? You just have a riot if you don't like the end result. It's quite special, this one, but it was great. And actually, now I'm going into the 80s, it's going to be very hard to beat Chelsea Leeds. It's old second
always
division
leads somewhere.
Always leads, all roads lead to Leeds. Chelsea Leeds, I think I misremember this, but basically, definitely, if we won, we got promoted. And I think if they won, they could get promoted. We beat them 5-0, five pitch invasions. Referee got punched during one of the pitch invasions by a Chelsea supporter, because that's how bright
you
we were.
You didn't have to explain that bit.
So clever.
Natural.
But funny, I've still carried on refereeing. Imagine what would have happened now. And yeah, pitch invasions, absolute riot. Leeds supporters smashed the scoreboard up. And actually, that's the best one, because Dale Huntley and I... We still lived out west of London in Burnham, but we were in Chelsea by the ground by 10:30. We could hardly speak by 3 o'clock. So good.
I quite like thinking of all these unthinkables going into the final day, because it gives me more hope. So look, I'm finding here, look, we've just 10 seconds left on the clock. At Brunton Park, the goalkeeper ran into the opposition penalty area and secured his side's Football League status.
Football League status. Was it a header or did he kick it?
It was on the 8th of May 1999, Carlisle United in a straight shootout against Scarborough.
It was a header, but maybe he kicked it.
I mean, it's a strange thing because I haven't thought about it for years. I just remember... I think I was watching some kind of results thing, and everything goes crazy, and everyone's like, my God, you're not going to believe what's just happened.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it has to be something ridiculous for us to start paying attention to Football League
status. You know. But did you see, having said that, did you see... It was that as well. It was the penalty shootout to get into the Football League. Bromley. Did you see the Bromley captain?
Yeah.
He lifts his eyebrows up at the keeper and told him which way he was going to go. He lifts his eyebrows up and just scores. And apparently as well, he had a Football League... Was it you telling me this? Actually, you might have been telling me this. He had a Football League armband on for the whole game because he was that confident they were going up. He had real... Just, what's the word? Kahunas. He really just believed in it all. No nerves whatsoever. Yeah, that's good. What else then? What other ones that maybe it wasn't just Chelsea or Arsenal?
We just talked about Jimmy Glass. That's not just us.
No, but that's what I mean. Those ones where you sort of think, wow, what did that feel? That must have been amazing to be there.
And again, we mentioned it earlier, but I can remember watching a split screen with the Man United West Ham game when it was up against Blackburn. Yeah. And the amount of times it looked impossible that United wouldn't score.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper pulled off a save.
Yeah. Yes, it's good. I mean, especially for all of us then who weren't Man United supporters. Anything that meant they didn't win the league. A bit like City has become now. Anything. And actually, what we could. You never know. This could happen. West Ham. Yeah, a draw's enough, isn't it? West Ham don't have to beat them.
Obviously, we have to beat Everton.
You have to win. Is that our home?
That's at the Emirates, yeah.
No, the Everton. You're not home to Everton.
Yeah. As in, we're at home, yeah.
Oh.
I'll be there, radio in one hand, listening for
it. I want you to, at some point, if it does look like a draw up there, say it's up for grabs now. I think that's up there with Aguero as the best commentary line ever. When what's his name scored for Arsenal at Liverpool. I thought that was a great one. It's up for grabs now. I'm trying to think, there's got to be more of these real high drama last game of the season wins.
I feel like most of them tend to happen at the wrong end of the table.
Yeah, survival. See, that's the trouble. We've got a different view of it. Well, old Chelsea sports have, because we've gone through it. And in a funny way, you realise, because it all ended up all right in the end, there's a sort of entertainment about going to the second division, playing teams. I mean, especially going away to these teams, because you can just run over them, because your support, you know, there. Even then, Chelsea takes 6,000-7,000 to a game away, you know, anyway. And of course, some of these groups, then, their crowd average gate would be like 5,000, so you'd sort of double their crowd. Be good fun, be entertaining. No, Steve, not just because there was violence. Was there not just that?
No, you don't need to say there's violence for us to know there was violence.
There wasn't, no. Often there wasn't, only against, like, yeah, obviously, the usual suspects, Leeds. But most of them were fine, it was just entertaining.
Well, definitely some that we, you know, we haven't done this for so many episodes, I forget how it goes. But get in touch with us on the Instagram.
What's the Instagram called?
No Clean Sheets
Podcast. You've stopped using
even
Instagram,
stopped using
Steve.
No Clean Sheets Podcast. But and just confirm from, you know, I could just Google it, of course. But I have an Evertonian friend who swears blind that in the 70s it wasn't unheard of when Everton were playing Liverpool that they'd be throwing socks at each other with things in them, like nails and things.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that feels like something I feel like I would have heard by now. Or it would have come... I mean, was it really that...
The best one I ever heard, and it was in the news, I think this definitely happened, it wasn't in this country, but, like, a lot of things. We invent something, and then the Europeans take it, on, or other countries take it, and somehow take it to another level.
Does it involve a Vespa?
Remember, it was in Italy, obviously Italy, and they dropped a Vespa on the away support, or the away supporters from the tier above them, asking lots of questions. Steve, not least, how did they smuggle a Vespa in under their coat? How did that
happen? Well, for years I thought this was one of those football myths until I actually googled it and then saw still images
of it dropping down.
Of it dropping down.
Mental. I have heard a lot of, and it is Liverpool, I think it's Liverpool supporters doing it to Man United and Everton supporters, where they're just dropping cups of their own excrement and dropping onto them. No one's surprised by that, Steve.
No, but getting hit by a Vespa from above, that is definitely up there.
He's been involved in an accident. He's hit by a Vespa in the ground.
In the ground. Now, I mean, again, I don't know, but... I mean, was anyone injured? It kind of feels like...
I don't think anybody died, which, let's be honest, if a Vespa hit you on the head, you would die. So I'm hoping that meant that people shouted Vespa and everyone got out of the world. Yeah, but that's the trouble. Would you, if somebody shouted Vespa, Steve, would you look up? You wouldn't, would you? If you were in a football, if you were at the Emirates, yeah. Someone shouted Vespa, the last thing you're going to do is look up and expect one to come and over your
head. I mean, obviously you as a Chelsea fan...
I would look up.
You would just assume it's your new left back.
Okay.
Oh, that Vespa's a good
Where's
player.
Where's he come from? I am still, two seasons in, and I am still going who when people come on. I do, I haven't been for a couple of weeks. But they all seem to be coming, they all seem to be sort of easing into it a bit. Jackson... Hard to feel that he's got a bit about him all of a sudden.
Well, look, I'm not giving up on this season yet.
No.
But there is something about this summer, not just the Euros, but the transfer, how clubs are sort of got to juggle things around. The fact that I generally feel like Arsenal need two or three players max, and there's actually a plan.
But you're in a very good place. Even if you don't win it, it's a build. It's shown that last season wasn't a fluke. Did better this season. Even if you don't win it, you did better. You're not an ageing squad. They're all, I don't know, you've got anyone. Apart from Jorginho, who somebody was getting very angry about the other day, an Arsenal supporter. What are you talking about? It's fine. Anyway, you've got that to build on. So you're probably the least nervous group of supporters. City, you're at the top. There's only one place to go from there, despite their refusal to go down. They stay up there. But I think for... So actually, now another one you've reminded me of. Won't be surprised this. Last game of the season. 2003. Last game of the season. Chelsea, all that's right in the world, versus Liverpool, and you know, and they did bill it as the most valuable football match ever played, because it was between us who got into the Champions League, and that was worth more than any prize money of any other game. And of course, you'd be surprised to hear, Steve, that we're quite a lively football match, and we did beat them, but it was entertaining because it was the big thing was we were basically about to go bankrupt again, because Ken Bates had blown it all on heifers for his farm or something. So we won the game, secured Champions League football, managed to goad a load of Scousers, which was great, on the King's Road. A month, 2 months later, Roman Abramovich bought Chelsea. And lots of speculation, would he have bought us if we hadn't been guaranteed we were straight into Champions League football? There, you see, that was a game. I've had a lot of good last games of the season, all down to that, and it was Liverpool. So, you know, even though it wasn't winning a competition, in those days for us,
Champions League football was like a bloody win, as far as we were concerned.
That was great.
I mean, it feels like there's a tinge of drama missing on this final game. Because as much as I still hope for a West Ham upset, it's not enough on a final day to just have that one very faint...
Possibly. Oh, I don't know. No. You know,
there's no real relegation battle.
No, that's all done, isn't it? That's all been decided.
So there's nothing there.
Despite all the point shenanigans, the Champions League's decided.
I predict fantasy football-wise, by the way, that most people won't have players, because I should assume that we'll get a lot of youth players suddenly getting an appearance.
Yeah, of course. Especially if they were... Well, no, City won't rest anyone.
City and Arsenal obviously won't.
They'll be playing them.
Chelsea,
United might.
United, well, it doesn't make a difference who they play.
Who's worthy of resting?
But all the teams that
Chelsea got nothing to rest for anything, so we'll be full on, all guns blazing. But you say, yeah, you're right. It's not quite the same. Yeah, remember, they used to have all the screens, who's going to get related, but that's all been decided. You're right, I hadn't thought of that. It's quite unusual that it's all decided apart from
the title.
And now I'm sort of starting to think. Because, yeah, no one thinks City or cock will slip.
Declan Rice scores a screamer against Everton in the dying embers of the game as West Ham hold City to a draw.
Yeah.
And dare I say, just to complete the things that I could never have predicted, massive dislike for Zuma over the whole cat thing.
No way. Kicking cats.
Kicking
cats
is a massive...
That's brilliant. And I saw those kicks. They weren't proper Zuma. If they were proper Zuma kicks, those cats would be dead.
They were slid across
the kitchen floor.
They would, but I suspect that he wouldn't do it to many others.
I'd love Zuma.
Absolutely can't stand him. But if he was to score the equaliser on the final day of the season...
Or a header.
With a header.
I think a header's more likely for Zuma.
Suddenly would all be forgiven.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And actually, yeah, you're right. There is... I mean, we are now getting carried away, but maybe it's... Because it's so unexpected. That is the beauty of, like you say, that is why we go. That is what the appeal of sport is. Unexpected things happen, and it would be so unexpected. But why? It's two teams. West Ham aren't a shite team. They've gone off the board a bit recently. But who was it? Is it Palace got a result against City? Somebody, I'm sure, swear, several teams of. I think we drew. Did we draw with City? I think we definitely drew them.
I feel like
home.
You did draw with City.
I think we drew with them both times. Yeah. So, anyway, and basically, we're just marginally better than West Ham. I get there's not as much at stake for City.
Look, David Moyes' last game, they've been desperate for him to get out for. I'm not quite sure.
No, where. I'm not entirely sure who West Ham actually think they are, because frankly, they're overachieving.
Someone wins you a European competition and.
Another top 10 finish.
West Ham have got, I mean, as much as I kind of have a soft spot for certain things they've done within my love of football. They do have this delusion of thinking they're a good football team.
Yeah, or I think they're
a big
club.
They play good football.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because West Ham and Chelsea were very similar in the 80s in that they were had a big support, good support, alarming tendency to resort to violence if things weren't going well. Regularly promoted and relegated. So I had a lot of pals, East West London, obviously stylish West London, nasty, dodgy East Londoners. So very similar, same sort of average gait, all that sort of thing. And then, of course, you know, we went off, you know, for a bit with Ken Bates, who started buying fancy, you know, Zolas and Hullets and stuff. And then, of course, Roman Abramovich. And they just carried on. So it kind of stayed the same, but they've now, I don't know if it's the ground. I don't quite know why they've decided that they've got, they're ultimately, you know, bankrolled by pornographers and state funded. I don't understand why they think they're going to do any better.
Well, they always have these sly.
And of course, they even. Yeah, they have to be fair to even Tottenham, they start sort of getting cross with Tottenham. You think, well, Tottenham's a bigger club. I don't understand where you got this idea you were better than
Tottenham. West Ham have these Di Canio moments and they get these occasional players who.
Tevez.
Pacatá,
Tevez. Yeah,
so they have these moments and then they think, well, that.
And of course, I know, why am I saying this? Of course, Pikey Paul and all those, of course, they will go on about when West Ham won the World Cup.
I was going to try and avoid
it. Gotten about that. Yeah. Laughable. Who was it? Bobby Moore. Was that it? Was there another player? Was Jeff Hurst play for West Ham?
You've just ticked off the West Ham bingo card of we won the World Cup.
That's their basis. Well, no, but don't get me wrong. That's exactly what Chelsea would do if it happened the other way around.
But yeah, I suppose that's it. But yeah, I don't know why they think Moyes isn't the answer. I don't know what question they've got in their heads.
But I also quite like the idea that they turn around and they say that this guy's not good enough. And then he engineers a 3-0 win at City.
Yeah,
and have them sitting there
playing spectacular football.
Yeah. Brilliant. Right. I think on that note, Steve, I think this... a level of sun-kissed optimism in our heads. West Ham doing Arsenal a favour. I don't know who he decides to do us a favour, but whoever is Tottenham, are Tottenham playing Man United?
No, they're away at Sheffield United. Yeah. It's wrong United.
That's the mood of that similar quality. Yeah, Sheffield United are going to do us a favour against Tottenham.
I think it might be Newcastle that are playing Man United. That might be it.
That's tonight, isn't it?
Yeah. So if we want we want Man United to beat Newcastle to get sixth, and then we want something very complicated to happen, like Sheffield United beating Tottenham. Actually, that could happen though, because they have sort of imploded Tottenham.
Tottenham have gone. They've switched off. But also,
they're on the beach.
Sheffield United's last Premier League game, possibly for a while.
The crowd will be up for it.
Why not enjoy it?
Gary Schumer. So, next week, Steve, we'll see how many people we can muscle. Still haven't actually fixed a date. Are you all right? Any day next week? Any days?
We'll sort something.
I'm in Manchester. We'll make sure it's not there. We'll sort something out.
It'll be a very gloomy place next week. They'll be quite upset that they lost the title.
Oh, yes. Unfortunately, not going to the ground this time. Just actually doing some interviews. But you're right, it could be entertaining.
Well, half of the city will, of course, be smiling.
That's very true.
That's what you've got to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Only group of supporters that want Man City to lose more than Arsenal will be Man United supporters, because they can't bear it. They are permanently chewing wasps. Good, Steve. Good to see you, mate.
Always a pleasure.
Next week. Bye.